Peter Isaacson, Father of Anna Maria Whiting, by Geraldine B. Sagers. Peter Isaacson, Father of Anna Maria, was born May 30, 1828, at Esender, Thisted County, in Denmark. His parents were Isaac Olesen Jertsvang and Anna Margit Pedersen. Peter was just 12 years of age when his father died. He worked for 8 years as an apprentice to learn the trade of a carpenter, and worked in this capacity until he left his native land. There was a compulsory law that every boy take soldier's training, which Peter complied to, and served for 2 years fighting in the war between Denmark and Germany. Peter's brother lost his life in the Second War with Germany in 1863. The Mormon missionaries contacted Peter and he was impressed with them. He accepted Mormonism and was baptized by Peter Powelson in 1854, after which he served a short time himself as a missionary to his fellow countrymen. His desire to come to America was great, and he had in fact saved $800 to pay for his ticket. Peter returned to his home, before leaving, to bid his mother goodbye, but his stepfather refused to let him in the house, because he was now one of those Mormons. Peter was very close to his younger sister Moriah. Neither of them could sing like the others in the family, who were favored by their stepfather. Peter's mother was a fine poet. Peter's sister, Moriah, had been taught the gospel with him and she believed, as he did, but she was young, and did not have the courage to join and accompany her brother on his journey to America. He told his sister that someday she would regret it. Moriah was heartbroken. She promised Peter she would come someday. Years later, Moriah was very ill and laid in bed irrational. This lasted for several days and it seemed no matter where she looked, all she could see was be baptized. Her husband wrote to Copenhagen for the missionaries, and even without an address they received the letter and came. When they arrived she was conscious, and told them if they'd baptize her she'd recover. 15 years after Peter had bid his dear sister goodbye, she entered the waters of baptism with faith so strong she did get well. She even wrote Peter to see if she should come to America, if her husband did not join. Her brother answered that she should never leave that good man. 20 years later Moriah's husband was converted. The $800 Peter had saved more than paid for his ticket, so he gave the extra money to the captain with the instructions that it be used for other immigrants who wanted to come to America but didn't have money. Peter didn't begrudge the fact that he was never repaid by these people. His blessings were reward enough. Peter sailed from Copenhagen, Denmark on the Cimbria. The storms were so strong that the boat landed back at the port they'd sailed from previously. But not to be defeated or discouraged, more provisions were loaded on and they started out again. They traveled from Liverpool, England, on the sailboat James Nesmith, January 7, 1855, arriving at New Orleans in February, 1855. They had not expected to live to make the journey. The captain said, "I'm glad I had some Mormons aboard so this ship didn't go down." The saints from the James Nesmith traveled on together up the Mississippi and Missouri rivers to Mormon Grove, near Atchison, Kansas. Peter remained in the frontiers for 1 year, before he started the long journey across the plains. He joined the company of Bishop Abraham D. Smoot and other saints leaving for Utah. While crossing the mountains, the group suffered extreme cold and overexertion and stopped for rest. At some point after his arrival, Peter married Anna Maria Powelson, a member of the group of saints Peter had traveled with from Denmark to Missouri. The young couple continued on their travels to Utah, sharing their wagon and all they had with 5 others. Tragedy struck when the company of pioneers were afflicted with cholera and 4 of the 7 in Peter's wagon died, one of which was his bride of 3 months. Only one who has experienced such a tragedy could know the sorrow Peter felt as he drove his wagon toward Utah, leaving the grave of his precious wife. Peter mourned his loss in the way those before him had and the many to follow would, as he continued the trek across the plains. The Smoot Company arrived in Salt Lake City November 9, 1856. Peter only stayed in Salt Lake City a short time, then moved on to San Pete County, where he lived most of the remaining years of his life. He was married to his second wife, Martha Christina Clementson, in Salt Lake City, April 21, 1857, by Dr. Clinton. They received their endowments in the Endowment House on November 15, 1861. Once again Peter found happiness and with a companion who had been converted in Denmark, and then traveled on the same ship he had. A year after Peter and Martha were married he participated in the expedition to the mountains, to check the approach of Johnston's army. Fort Ephraim, built by the Saints as a protection against the Indians, was home to Peter and Martha from 1858 until 1876. In the spring of 1865 the Saints had to organize in war against the Black Hawk Indians. The government would not offer assistance so the men trained themselves and furnished their own ammunition. Peter served as a captain over the Silver Gray, a troop of 50 men. The Indians were sly and clever, attacking most often those working alone and unprotected. One time they killed a couple and their older daughter, as they worked in their field just a block from Peter's home. When help arrived the second child, a baby, was trying to awaken its dead mother. For safety, the men would travel in groups to the mountains 5 or 6 miles out of Ephraim for the winter's wood supply. They would work all day and return home before night. Ike begged his father one day to let him go for wood but Peter decided not to take his young son. As the men worked out on the mountain they suddenly realized they were surrounded by Indians, armed with bows, arrows, and some guns. Peter heard shots but thought at first some of the men were trying out their new guns. Then a bullet whizzed by his head. He jumped back and looked just in time to see an Indian dodge behind a tree. He realized they were under attack, and that the wagon would already be in the hands of the Indians. Peter took the axe he was chopping with to use for protection, and ran the opposite way from the wagons and home. He figured the Indians would have the road blocked. They had and many, who ran for their wagons and town had been killed. A few men hid in the underbrush and escaped the next day. One man had a pet dog with him and the little animal kept barking so he pulled one of his shoelaces, and tied the dog's mouth shut so he couldn't bark thus saving their lives. As Peter neared home he met a friend and his little son walking toward the mountains. Peter warned them of the Indians and admonished him to turn back. The man told Peter his little boy had already told him another man had appeared, and said for them to turn back. The father had not believed the son the first time. Before Peter reached home he'd run so fast his feet were sore and aching, and he finally took his shoes off to keep walking. He caught a ride, when he was close to town and upon reaching home almost fainted from exhaustion. Peter was always thankful he hadn't given in to little Ike's coaxing. He couldn't have carried the boy and run fast enough, and certainly couldn't have left his little son behind, undoubtedly they'd both have been killed. The news frightened Martha so she lost the baby she was carrying. One neighbor lady couldn't believe it and kept looking for her husband to come home that morning. A search party found her husband, scalped and both arms cut off. During the 3 years the Indian War lasted every man took his turn standing guard, every fourth day. One fourth of their time was spent guarding their families, homes, all they possessed, to survive and build Zion. Peter had lost not only his supplies and wagon, but his team of prized Texan oxen were stolen. This trip to cut wood was his first chance to use his oxen, since they had been returned from a trip back to Missouri. Peter's gift of sharing was evident once again, he had offered his team for the trip, to help bring some more saints out west. His thankfulness for having his life spared outweighed the grief of never seeing the oxen again. Peter joined in with some other men, and bought one of the first machines in that part of the country to thresh grain. They traveled all around San Pete County threshing grain on shares for the people. All four of their children were born in from Peter, who died when just a little boy, Isaac, Moriah, and Martin. Peter worked hard on the fine rock house for his family, and almost had it finishing when he was called to Arizona, as a leader in helping the Saints colonize there. In February 1876, Peter left for what was to be known as Brigham City, a United Order settlement on the Little Colorado River. Traveling in the company with him were also Brother Overson and Chris Christensen. They moved without trouble until they reached Panch, where there was 4 feet of snow on the Buckskin Mountain. The teams from the other wagons, 8 mules in all, were used on one wagon. Everyone had to sleep in it and the cold was severe. Next the mud from the melting snow, but finally dry roads. The little Colorado River was a real obstacle, so thick was the mud, the people nor cattle could drink. Buckets were drawn and by morning about 2 inches of water stood on top. The group from Ephraim arrived 19 days before the president, Jesse O. Balinger, and waited for him to come, then work began. A campsite was selected and fort constructed. Peter made a second trip to Utah and back for a load of grain from his own bin, to feed the people of Brigham City, after their crops had failed. After the fort was built and the camp was prepared, Peter returned to Ephraim to bring his wife and children back with him to Arizona, his third trip, since they joined the United Order. Peter was superintendent of all the farms and served as first counselor to Bishop George Lake. He was ordained a high priest by Erastus Snow, assisted by J. Hinckley, N. N. Smith, L. H. Hatch, and Lot Smith on September 23, 1878 at Sunset, Arizona. The saints worked tirelessly but they couldn't build a permanent dam there on the Little Colorado River, so Brigham City was abandoned. The church authorities advised them to move on to St. John's. That fall, about 5 years after they had come to Arizona from Ephraim, Peter and his family moved. Several other families joined with the Isaacson family and they settled north of St. John's at a place called the Meadows. Peter led this band of saints serving as their bishop. The spirit of the United Order again prevailed at the families bandied together in work and accomplishment. After they'd cleared the greasewood from the land, enough fence posts were hauled in to completely fence their plot of land. Then the plot was divided into 5-acre lots for each family. Logs were hauled from the mountains and one by one houses were built for each family, some with 2 rooms, some with just one. The first winter at the Meadows was a real hardship. The people and the cattle almost starved to death. Peter's family was more fortunate than the others because they wouldn't kill their cow to eat as many had done, and as a result there was milk and butter to nourish them through. When spring came the gardens were planted and when harvested all the families enjoyed corn, squash, and beans. Later the men fenced in big fields of wild hay, which they harvested every year. Their herds of cattle increased and the families enjoyed the feast of good meat. When their only daughter, Moriah, married and moved back to Utah, Martha was so lonesome she pleaded with her husband to take her home to Ephraim. This Peter did, but he returned immediately to Arizona to fill his calling as bishop. After 2 years, President David K. Udall came to Peter and told him his work was through and his place was with his wife. So in 1893, he was released as bishop of the Meadows and the settlement was eventually abandoned. He sold his cattle and ranch, and after 16 years in Arizona, Peter made the trip back to finish the home he had started 20 years before. Peter and Martha's youngest son, Martin, lived in Ephraim and for years took care of his mother and father. Peter was very clean and neat in his habits. When he did his work around the cows and other chores, he wore a pair of wooden shoes which he made himself. Then before he came into the house, he removed the shoes.